Blog Talk Radio.
Up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard. I see you, Kingsley. I miss you, man. Been gone for 2 weeks. There's only two things that can pull me away from the Extra Points Radio Show. One is football. We were down in Richmond 2 weeks ago in a tussle with Benedictine High School. Came out on the short end of the stick on that one. And then last week, a hurricane. So been in Florida helping out with hurricane relief down there. And hey, pray for all the people in South Florida as they go through the rebuild from Hurricane Irma. That was it is devastating in Florida. If you got family down there, check on them. It is not a pretty picture. So, but hey, the Extra Points Radio Show is back. I got a new appreciation for Brett Favre and Cal Ripken and all those guys with streaks. Our streak ended about 80 shows in a row, and then we finally just could not get one off the ground. So, hey, but we got a great show today. We're going to do, our pay attention topics. I think we got a pretty good one today. I'll give you a hint. Yes, I will be bringing up Colin Kaepernick again. But we also got Super Referee Craig Muckle coming on to talk a little bit of Melo and how he's dictating to the league where he plays. And then, of course, on the back end of the show, we'll talk some college football. We'll talk some NFL specifically. Our Washington Redskins as they go for a 8:30 tilt tomorrow night versus the Oakland Raiders. So, but before we get into anything else, we got to get to our pay attention topic. So, let me hit the button, shall I? Pay attention topics, the PAT. It's not point after attempt, but the pay attention topic. And I got three things we could talk about right out of the gate. One is, if you don't know it, Florida State's going to be going with a new quarterback today. And that's going to be tough sledding for them, I think. They got a young kid coming in, James Blackman. He's an athlete. He's not Jameis Winston. He's not the straight dropback quarterback. They haven't played in 2 weeks because of the hurricane as well. So Jimbo's going to throw the youngin' out there and see what he can do. They still got a shot. They got Clemson on the schedule. So if they can run the table in the ACC, which is a little down, although you got Miami and you got Clemson. Clemson's, defending national champs, ranked in the top five. They're actually number two, number one in some polls. I think Florida State's still in it. It'll be good to see this freshman kid go out there. I know that reading defenses, I know they're not going to give him a lot, so his progressions will be maybe one or two reads. And he'll use his leg and try and win a football game. And I think the more he plays and gets some confidence, he knows he's the guy the rest of the year, I think the better off Florida State will be. Jimbo does a great job of quarterbacks. I think Florida State's just fine, just where they want to be. So we'll see what happens there. How about those L.A. Dodgers? Five straight National League West titles. Five straight. So, Nationals, instead of running your JV out there every night like you did last night against the Mets, you may want to start, I know Bryce is taking batting practice. I know Worth is kind of here and there day to day. Trey Turner's once a week. Zimmerman, he's older, get him some rest. But, hey, you better get your horses going because the L.A. Dodgers, they are not playing around. I know they went through that little bit of a slump. They lost, 11 in a row or something like that. But, hey, at the end of the day, five straight National League West titles. They got the best pitcher in baseball in Kershaw. I think they're still heavily favored to win it all. So, Nats, if I'm you, I'm getting on the stick and making sure that we stop playing our JV teams and get your regulars out there and be ready for the L.A. Dodgers. So, to talk about that for a while as well, let's go back down to Florida, a little over a week in South Florida. So I watched a lot of Marlins baseball. And Derek Jeter, the new baseball president of baseball operations, had an interesting request for the outgoing Marlins owner. He wants the Marlins owner to fire some really big-time luminaries on the team. It just was a weird transaction. He wants Mr. Marlin gone, which is Jack McKeon, 2003 World Series winning manager. He wants Jeff Conine gone, and Jeff Conine played outfield for the Marlins forever. He wants Tony Perez, who's a Hall of Famer, out, and he wants Andre Dawson, Hall of Famer, out. And I get it. I mean, I don't have a problem if he's cleaning house in the front office, thinks they're a little fat in the front office, no problem. But, man, why don't you just man up and do it yourself? Why would you have the outgoing owner do it for you? Like, that's like not a Jeter move to me. I don't get that one with Jeter, but, you know, I mean, it is what it is. But I think, hey, Jeter, I mean, you're the new guy on the block. Man up, you know, face it, take it like a man. If you don't want these guys here, look them in the eye and tell them you don't want them here. So, I don't know. I thought that was a weird one. But anyway, we could talk about that one for a while as well, but we won't, because our pay attention topic, albeit controversial, very controversial, it has to be discussed. It just has to be discussed. So, here we go. All right, let me set the scene for you. Last night at a rally in Huntsville, Alabama, your president, Donald J. Trump, spoke for this guy, Senator Luther Strange. First of all, anybody with the last name Strange, I'm not feeling, especially if we're in Huntsville, Alabama, a place I've been to and was scared to death. So here's the deal. One of the topics that came up in his speech was NFL players protesting during the national anthem. And this is what he said. This is what he said, and I quote the president of the United States, quote, "Wouldn't you like to see one of these owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired." Close quote. Now, let me tell you something. That is over the top. He went on to blame the protest basically on just, you know, like the league. He said that there are too many penalties called on hard hits and that the NFL's TV ratings are down. I'm like, dude, we like got hurricanes going on, and you talking about, I mean, just the language, just, you know, for those of you that listen to the Extra Points Radio show every week, you know that I don't believe that Colin Kaepernick, if I was a general manager, I wouldn't pick him up. I just don't think he's good enough with the baggage that he would bring to a sports franchise. But with that being said, this is unbelievable. This guy said that people in attendance at NFL games should leave the stadium, that they should leave the stadium because people are protesting. Like, this guy, you know, I have never once on the Extra Points Radio show even mentioned your president, but I could not ignore that commentary right there. I just couldn't believe it. I'm going to read it again. He said, "Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired." And, of course, you know, Huntsville, Alabama, they all applauded. So I just think that that's really, really over the top. It's bad. Kaepernick doesn't deserve that. Kaepernick's family doesn't deserve that. It's just, you know, it's just bad. Then he went on to talk about how some of these owners are friends of his, and you know, they would be very popular if they just fired a guy for protesting. Then he talked about the ratings I'm sitting there going, you're supposed to be helping a candidate for Congress. You're stumping for the guy, and you're sitting here talking about NFL ratings are down. And, you know, he said one of the reasons why they're down is because it's a 15-yard penalty for hard hit. So he said, oh, they quickly want to throw people out of the game. He said he watched for a couple minutes last week. Two guys made a beautiful tackle, and boom, boom, 15-yard penalty. The ref gets on television. His wife's sitting at home. She's proud of him. They're ruining the game. They're ruining the game. Like, this is a president of the United States. This guy can press a button and send off hydrogen bombs. And he's talking about NFL referees, NFL ratings, and firing guys and this and that. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I'm shocked and appalled. I did like Kaepernick's mom's response, which was, you know, I guess I'm a proud bee. That's what she said. And I like that. You know, I like that. The mom stuck beside her son and said, look, this president's not going to bully my son. So, yeah, I don't get it. I try not to get political on the Extra Points radio show. But when a guy comes out and says what he said last night in Huntsville, Alabama, hey, it's a free country. And just to your president, I hope he's listening to the Extra Points radio show, President Donald J. Trump, to say what you said last night was really, really low. And as Michelle Obama would say, when you go low, we go high. So I'm going to go high and not give him any more time or space. But I do want to talk about Kaepernick for 1 second and come off of the president. So I'm looking around the league, and I'm seeing some guys like Mike Glennon and a couple other guys that Jay Cutler, who, you know, are getting a second and third chance, and Kaepernick still hasn't gotten a chance. And I still believe, and I'm going to stand by what I said, if I'm a general manager, I would not select him. Yes, is he good enough to play in the NFL? Absolutely. But is he so good that you want the distraction that's going to come with his protest? Absolutely not. So, therefore, I'm sticking to my guns. I would not pick him up. Another guy that's not being picked up is RG3, who is in a Twitter war with Santana Moss. You'll never get picked up when you're doing stuff like that. Santana Moss is retired. He's done. He's done playing. For you to do that is just really, really bad. So there's a lot of stuff going out there on social media, led by the leader of the free world. And, you know, it's just really, really disappointing to see. But, hey, on a lighter note, we're going to take a quick break. And we had to, on an emergency phone call in Super Referee Craig Muckle on two things. One, this Kyrie Irving interview with Stephen A. during the week. I want Super Referee Craig Muckle to weigh in on that. And then, of course, Melo kind of dictating to the league, oh, no, I'll play for them, but I won't play for them. I'll play for them, but I won't play for them. If I'm the Knicks, I'd give this guy a one-way bus ticket to Union Station. That's what I do, but I'm not the Knicks. So, hey, let's take a quick break. Chucky, take us a break, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. We do need some money. We absolutely need some money from the bowels of Bishop Ireton High School, where we go out and play Bishop O'Connell today. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and chalk that up as a win right now. I'll do it again in our prediction segment, but Coach Kevin Barger and team will go ahead and win that one today over O'Connell, the O'Connell Knights. So I know that that's a win for them, first win of the season over at Ireton. But before we do that, without further ado, this guy is going to come in at the last minute, and he's going to weigh in on old Kyrie there. But we got to bring him in the right way with what he's using. The Universal Chance for a referee. Super referee Craig Muscle. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I hope you enjoyed your theme music. As you can see, we did not throw it away. How are you, man?
Yeah, well, I'm doing well, man. Thanks for tracking me down this morning, and I'm happy to be here. And as I do hear the theme music, I just want to tell you that I have my first officials meeting in about 3 weeks. So, yeah, it's a good thing you didn't throw the music away.
Well, I'm glad you told us about the meeting. Make sure that they go over it again with you what a charge is so you get it right this week. All right, just make sure you get that right. Hey, Craig,
right,
before
thanks.
We weigh in on this basketball deal, you know, I've never mentioned your president on the Extra Points Radio Show, but after last night's commentary, I put him as part of the pay attention topic. I don't know if you heard the commentary, but basically he said, for those NFL players who protest, basically the son of a B should be fired. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I do, and I did hear that, and I was like, what? And I guess I don't really want to mix the messages, but they're frankly similar in that he and Sarah Huckabee, his press secretary, criticized Jemele Hill as well for, you know, the comments she made, and whether you agree with her or not is really not the point I'm trying to make here. But it goes back to his comments from yesterday, is that, first of all, our democracy was built on the premise that people are free to live their life in the manner they think fit, as long as they're doing it in a way that's not putting themselves or others at risk. And part of that free democracy is the ability to speak your opinions freely. We are not in an authoritarian society, and those comments, frankly, reek of something that probably one of his most vocal adversaries does. And so for him to even suggest that an NFL player should be fired for basically speaking their mind or, you know, voicing their displeasure about something is just counter to the American way, counter to what our society and our culture was built on. And it's frankly appalling for him to even suggest it.
Absolutely appalling. And I read another article that the Golden State Warriors will not be visiting the White House for the obligatory photo op with the president. So I found that interesting that, you know, an NBA team pretty much 10 out of the 12 guys are minorities, black males, young black males. They're not going to come here and sit down and take a picture with Donald J. Trump. So interesting.
Right.
Let me shift gears for you on the topic at hand. This guy, Kyrie Irving, who I did not realize was as well-spoken as he was. I mean, the guy, you know, really, I thought did a good job with Stephen A., who's a loudmouth. But what did you think about this interview where he basically was like, hey, no harm, no foul. You know, I just wanted to go play somewhere else, make my own way in life. I don't know. I just thought it kind of – I didn't believe it. What do you think?
Well, I think – your opening remarks about that to me were simply, I think, really identified his desire to leave. He's been LeBron's understudy basically since, LeBron returned. And you didn't know he was that well-spoken. Why? Frankly, because LeBron has sort of been the spokesperson for the Cavaliers, although Kyrie did his share of interviews. But, I mean, when anything of significance was to be asked about the Cavaliers, the first person they would naturally go to is LeBron James. Kyrie Irving's number two. I mean, look, it's tough to be Robin when Batman's around. Sometimes, you know, Robin wants to be Batman himself. And so I think in order for people to hear what Kyrie is about beyond the basketball court, it required him to move on. And look, I think no one would argue that Kyrie certainly has skills on the floor to be a lead player on any team. I think he's certainly demonstrated that and earned that right to do that. So is it surprising? Well, yeah, I mean, because, you know, Cleveland was clearly going to be the team that would likely have been that would likely to face Golden State again this year. But, you know, him, you know, moving on to the Celtics really creates an interesting dynamic now. So good for him.
Well, you know,
and I'm not mad at him.
Here's my thing, though. I mean, there's only one guy who's been named, even remotely mentioned, close to Michael Jordan, and that's LeBron James, the greatest player on the planet, arguably. So you never heard Pippen say, oh, hey, I want to go and be my own man and start my own team and be number one. And quite honestly, even at a kind of a lower level, John Wall is the number one guy here in D.C. You don't really hear Bradley Beal going, hey, whoa, I need to be the number one guy, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go to another team. You just don't – I mean, is this – what is this? Is this like a millennial thing where it's titled? What? Because he just came off to me. Now, I don't know if you saw the interview. I watched the whole interview. He came off as – it just didn't seem very authentic. It seemed like it was – he was so well-spoken that it almost seemed scripted. And I'm just sitting there like, is this guy real? No, I'm telling you, you got to watch the whole thing. And Stephen A. and Kellerman, they pressed him, and he just wouldn't say anything pertaining to LeBron. So I just thought that was weird. Tell me about this. Tell me about your guy Melo and the Knicks. So this guy is dictating to everybody who he wants to play for. Like, again, who are these people to just come out and say, yeah, you know, I think I'll play for Houston or Oklahoma or who was the other one? I don't even remember the other team he wanted to play for.
Yeah,
and
I'm
sitting there going, wait a minute, Cleveland. So he wants to go play with LeBron now? Like, first of all, you're a Knicks fan. How does this land on Knicks fans that this guy says this stuff?
Well, I'm going to say this. I think everything with Carmelo and where he's at now started with Phil Jackson. And I think, in fairness to Carmelo, that he probably is going to be better off going somewhere else to, you know, maybe finish his career, because I definitely think the Phil Jackson thing left a bad taste in his mouth. And even though Phil's not there anymore, I just think it's the I'll just say it's the airspace that he's in now. And honestly, look, the Knicks are not going to be good with him, at least not good enough to make make the playoffs. But, you know, certainly they don't have enough pieces there to really do any significant damage. So I would just assume, as a Knicks fan, if he wants to leave, let him go, because – or I say let him go. I want something in return, because I'd rather get something of
value
for
him. Well, what could Cleveland give him? I mean, they don't – there's – you know, what would they give him?
What would they give him?
Yeah, I mean, right now they have no point guard. Yeah, what would they give the Knicks for to get Melo?
Well, I mean, and that's the real – I mean, at the end of the day – That's where the deal is going to get done, because clearly now that the trade, now that Kyrie's not with the Cavs anymore, I mean, that makes it a lot more difficult to trade for the Knicks and Cavaliers to trade something of value to the Knicks, or close to even equal value. Aside, you know, I'm going to put contract issues aside for a moment, because in the NBA, the contract issues are oftentimes more important in balancing these deals out than the player talent, but I don't think Cleveland is going to be a viable trade partner for the Knicks. I think maybe some of the other teams,
Oklahoma doesn't have anything. Oklahoma, they got nothing. Now, Houston probably. What do you think about
Russell
Houston? I mean, they could gut some of those guys. Go with who do they have down there? Harden. And who's Harden's running
Patrick
buddy now?
Patrick Beverley. Well, Patrick Beverley's down there. I'm forgetting all the guys right now. I mean, Houston definitely has more parts than either Cleveland or Oklahoma City. So,
sure.
I would like to see that. Number two, because he's not in our division. You know, he's not in the Eastern Conference anymore either. So he doesn't try to, annihilate the Knicks in his dissatisfaction if he is traded. So
right. I find it interesting that it's even a conversation. I mean, I've never seen a player. I mean, he's on the other end of. I mean, he's going downhill. And for this guy to be dictating who he's going to play for, it's just real, real surprising to me. Hey, we got about 2 minutes left. Super Referee Craig Muckle on the Extra Points Radio Show. I can't let you go without allowing you to weigh in on the AFC North, where I see the Baltimore Ravens are tied, shocking, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Any commentary there? Let me tell you how close it is, Craig. Let me just rattle off some numbers
commentary.
For you. First of all, both are 2-0. All right, Steelers got 47 points. Ravens got 44. Steelers have given up 27 points. Ravens only 10. Right, both have 5 touchdowns. Both have won one home game, won one road game. But the Ravens are 2-0 in the division, which I think is a pretty big deal. So, what are your thoughts here? I know you're Steeler fan. I know you're Tomlin fan, Rooney fan, Roethlisberger fan. Go ahead.
All right. First of all, my comment will be, they're 2-0 in the division. They happen to play everyone but the Steelers, the two worst teams in the division. We did play one of those teams. We won the game. We played a better Vikings team without Sam Bradford, admittedly, but the Vikings are certainly better than either the Browns or the Bengals. And, I'm not concerned. My focus right now is simply keeping our guys healthy and making sure we play well. We have a game against Chicago tomorrow, which on paper we should win. Unfortunately, these are the games we have played down to the competition. So I'm looking for us to go to Chicago, handle our business in a convincing manner, and then come back for the following week. I mean, we should be able to win without T.J. Watt and some of the other guys we have nicked up a little bit. So I'm looking forward to, putting on a good performance in Chicago tomorrow. And, the Ravens are going to be fine, but, when we play them, it'll be time to flex our muscle.
I tell you, the Steelers do a great job of getting good character guys. I was down in Florida for hurricane relief, and I saw that Timmons, who plays for the Dolphins, they basically run him out of town. He got some personal problem or whatever. But the Steelers always seem to get rid of guys like that prior to, which I think is a testament to the organization. Hey, man, I know you got to run, but we appreciate you just stopping in for a minute and clarifying this whole Melo deal and Kyrie and all that. And, we look forward to seeing you down the road. Set him up right there. So, hey, look, let's talk. Let's shift gears for a minute here and go through some college football. Of course, we always want to go through our top 10. And right now, Wisconsin looking pretty good in the Big Ten. They're going to run the football. They're going to continue to run it down people's throats. They got a huge offensive line. They will continue to do that. Of course, I don't root for them because Paul Chris left my beloved Pitt Panthers after one season. So I wish him nothing but bad luck. But right now they're rolling. And until they run in Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, they'll keep it moving. Ohio State, OHIO, glad that that they got their one loss. Won't be rooting for Urban Meyer either. I don't think they're out of it yet. They could still win the Big Ten and still be in the playoffs. So they are not dead. They're not even on life support. They're just kind of there. And they'll just win these games. Of course, they got to play Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State, blah, blah, blah. They win those games, they're right back in this thing. So keep your eye and look at them in a rearview mirror type thing. Michigan, I haven't been impressed. Khaki Pants got a new pair of khaki pants, but I haven't been very impressed with them. They're good now. Don't get me wrong. They're solid at the quarterback position. They got skill guys all over the field. But their games, they haven't been blowout games, to be honest. They haven't been the dominant big blue that we've been accustomed to. So I am not sold on that one. Now, I can tell you who I am sold on. I got 3 hours worth of Oklahoma State last Saturday. They played my beloved Panthers in Pittsburgh and destroyed them. They scored 59 points and probably could have scored 70 points. This offense, Gundy's got them. I mean, I know everybody looks at his YouTube video saying he's 40. Well, he's 50, and he's that's his age, but it's also the score that they put up. They are good. So I think Oklahoma State's going to move up. And I think Oklahoma State, when they go to Bedlam and play Oklahoma, the winner of that one, I think is going to be in that top four. So watch out for Oklahoma State. I just don't see a team that can stop them from scoring points. They light it up. Washington. Washington's a steady Eddie. You know, they'll continue now. They got to watch Washington State. I think Washington State's much improved. They're a top 20 team. They got to watch them. That'll be a rivalry game. And, of course, they got USC. So if they get over those two games, then they're in the top four, in my opinion. I'm not sure if they can beat both Washington State and USC. I'm not sure about that. We'll see. Speaking of USC, they are ranked fifth. And while that quarterback, Darnold, didn't play well his last outing, he played well enough in overtime to beat a tough game Texas team. This guy should be the Redskins quarterback next year. You heard it here first. He should be picked, if not number one overall, very, very high in the draft. The Skins should try and do a deal to get this guy in D.C. He's the best quarterback in college football right now, and I think he could play for some pro teams right now. Penn State, of course, I hate Penn State, but I really hate what they did this week. They're up against Akron, 56-0, and Franklin ices the kicker. Like, all Akron wanted to do was get 3 points and not get a goose egg. And this guy Franklin, who, by the way, never recruited Prince George's athletes when he was here in Maryland, so I don't root for him, but this guy ices a kicker. Like, come on, you got to be kidding me. You're up 56-0. That's bad. So Penn State, I know that Penn State fans were booing that one. Good for them. That's the only thing I can say good about a Penn State fan. But good for them for they got Iowa today. Don't be surprised. I think they win it, but I think it's going to go all the way down to the wire with Iowa. Go Hawkeyes in that one. Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner, they look good, man. Mayfield's good. All they got to do is get through Bedlam, really. And if they can beat Oklahoma State, that game will probably be 71-75. But that Oklahoma, man, the winner of Bedlam gets in the playoffs, period, the end. Clemson, you know, in some polls, Clemson's ranked number one. So, you know, I don't know about that. I think until you beat Alabama, I think Alabama stays one. But, you know, okay, it's all good. The quarterback, Bryant, looks great. You know, there's been no Heisman talk about him, but maybe there should be. But they're good, man. I mean, they're going to be – now, they got to get through – I still don't think Florida State's dead. They got to get through Florida State. They got to get through Miami. Watch Miami. Miami's on my watch list. So Clemson still got, you know, some games to win before we crown them again. And then, of course, Roll Tide. So I think the fact that people are starting to doubt Alabama and doubt King Saban. I think that's what's going to make them better. Jalen Hurts is still really, really good. And don't forget the backup that I keep telling everybody about from Hawaii. He's better than Hurts. He's better. You heard it here first. If Hurts twists an ankle, the Hawaii kid's got it made. He's got it locked in. So we'll see what happens. Just a couple of teams to watch in the top 20. South Florida, Charlie Strong's got it going on. They are loaded. Those guys aren't even his players. He hasn't recruited his players yet, but they are scoring just at will. I mean, they're an easy 40-point a game they're getting. So I think Charlie's got some redemption, and he's in a weak conference. So I think South Florida keeps chugging along. And, you know, now once we get into bowl season and playoff season, I don't think they're going to be invited. But I'm happy to see Charlie Strong do well. Watch TCU. Watch TCU. I think that they're 3-0. They are looking real good. Georgia's looking good. Watch Georgia. You know, that big win over Notre Dame a couple weeks ago solidified them. They're 3-0. And then, you know, I don't like Virginia Tech, but I'm going to tell you something. The game they had out at FedEx Field against West Virginia, they were impressive. They were very impressive. They got some NFL-type skill guys. They got Bud Foster's defense. You better keep your eye on Virginia Tech. So hey, look, that's our college football roundup. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, talk a little NFL, and then talk a little Redskins as they got their Raiders tomorrow night. So we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. You know, we've been talking so much Knicks, and we haven't talked about the Giants yet, but we definitely did talk about Melo a little bit. So I got to get my man in here. I got to get my man Kingsley from New York in here. Kingsley, are you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, Kingsley, man? You're the most loyal listener we got. You're our number one fan, man. We love you. Hey, Kingsley, what's going on with your boy Melo? Is he out with the Knicks, or what? What's the deal?
I don't know, man. He's confused.
Confused?
He wants to chase a ring.
A gazillionaire. What's he confused about?
Because he wants to chase a ring, so he don't know where he want to go. He just want to win. He's a ring.
Well,
I ain't mad at him.
You ain't mad at him? So you would be all right if he was gone? You'd be okay with that?
Yeah, because we ain't made a playoff in 4 years with him.
Well, that's a good point, Kingsley. Say that one again. You haven't been in the playoffs in 4 years with him. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. So where do you want him to go? You don't care? You want him to go to Houston, Cleveland? Where do you want him to go?
I want him to go somewhere where we can get something in return for him. So I think Cleveland for Kevin Love.
Oh, Kingsley, you're rolling today. That's a great idea. I love that. So just a straight-up deal. Kevin Love to the Knicks. Man, put him with Porzingis. Man, you may have just – that's an exclusive right there. That is an exclusive. I like that deal. You think Cleveland would do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too,
man.
I do too.
Because Houston, I want Chris Paul or Harden. Houston's not going to give up either one of them.
Right, right. Well, who's the point guard for the Knicks right now?
I don't know. It's a rookie, I guess.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, hey, let me ask you this. What's going on with your Giants, man? They're looking bad, man. They're looking – I don't know who to blame. I think that that offensive line is terrible. Eli. I'm not blaming Eli, but they look bad, Kings. What's going on?
They do look bad, but listen, history repeats itself. 07, we started 0-2 and went to the Super Bowl and win it.
I don't remember that. What year was that? Was that in the 80s? Was that in the 80s?
No. 2007 against the undefeated Patriots. We started 0-2.
So let me ask you this. Is Eli the problem?
No?
What's the problem?
The offensive line.
Now, should the coach keep calling the plays?
It's still early. It's only week three, so.
Yeah. You think the coach should still keep calling the plays?
Yeah. Because
you're all right
it's
with
on
this
week
coach?
Two.
You all right with this coach? You all right with this guy?
Yeah, because last year,
right.
He did win like 10 games.
That's true.
Last year, he won 10
That's
games.
True. Hey Kings, your Mets beat my Nationals last night. Your Mets beat my Nats last night. Congratulations.
Yeah, but that's a small victory. I want to beat you on the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a small victory because no playoffs for the Mets, right?
Yeah.
Hey man, thanks for listening. You listen every week. I know you missed us for 2 weeks, but we were on the road. We were doing hurricane relief. We're coaching football and all that, but we're back this week. And you were the first one on, and we love you for it, man. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Kingsley from New York. He is absolutely the best listener we have. He is the man. And he just gave an exclusive. Love to the Knicks for Melo. I think that's a good deal. I really do. I mean, you may have to throw a couple young players in there or some draft picks from Cleveland, but it ain't a bad little deal right there. So anyway, hey, look, let's talk a little NFL. And I just want to scan the league real quick and just get a quick scan. So I got a chance to see the Miami Dolphins last week. I don't think they're very good, but they are 1-0. You know, New England's going to win the AFC East. I mean, the Jets are pitiful. They are pitiful. I'm waiting for them to put Christian Hackenberg in the game. They are pitiful. In the North, you know, it's Steelers-Ravens. Right, it's Steelers-Ravens. Marvin Lewis will be fired any week now. He'll be fired. I think the Ravens are better than the Steelers. John Harbaugh is a magician. Love the guy. AFC South, I think this one is the one that's tricky. Let me start at the bottom. The Colts are awful. Pagano's going to be fired. And Luck, you know, Luck just will collect his check. He's hurt, so. The Texans, you know, I don't know about starting Deshaun so early. I thought the former Pitt quarterback Tom Savage was doing a real nice job. I think this is a little rush on Deshaun, but hey, they want to throw him out there. They're 1-1. They got a great defense. J.J. Watt, everything. They got a great defense. I think Jacksonville's improved, but they're still Jacksonville. Tennessee's the team, though. Tennessee, I'm telling you, I like the way they're built. I like Mariota. I like those backs. I like the way Tennessee built. They need some wideouts, but that defense is solid. AFC West, Denver is City and the Raiders. Those are collision-type games. I mean, those are playoff-type games right there. And then the Chargers are just woeful. You know, poor Coach Lynn, Anthony Lynn. I don't even know what to say. I feel bad for him. Let's flip over to the NFC. Let's start in the West. You know, the Rams look good. And I'm not surprised. I mean, McVay's a good coach. You know, I don't. He's young, but he's where coaching is going, and he's getting it done. He's a grinder. He works all the hours. He outworks guys. He's got a ton of energy. I mean, the Rams, they're not going to be sorry. They're not. Seattle, I think, is bad. I think Seattle and Arizona are older teams, veteran. And I just don't think they got the I don't think teams fear them anymore. And then the 49ers, they're 0-3. But let me tell you something. Lil Shanny is going to get that thing done right. He will. Trust me on that. Lil Shanny and McVay will be rivals for years to come. Let's go to the NFC South. Atlanta's back on stride. I think Carolina's overrated. They got no offensive line. I just hope Cam Newton makes it through the year. The Saints aren't very good. Sean Payton's a year gone, a year too long. But my team's the Bucs. And I've said this on the show so many times, I'll say it again. Jameis Winston will be the winningest black starting quarterback in NFL history. I'll say it a million times. I said it the day he was drafted. Said it when he signed his letter of intent to go to Florida State. I'm going to be right on that one. Love me some Tampa Bay. They're going to playoffs. They will be going to playoffs. NFC North, it's not very good. The Bears are awful. John Fox is going to be fired. I worked for John Fox when I was a freshman at the University of Pittsburgh. He told me he'd rip my lips off and send me back to D.C., so I never root for him. So he's going back to Pittsburgh tomorrow to play the Steelers. He's going to get blown out, and he's going to get fired. Green Bay, Mike McCarthy, another Pitt guy. Coach McCarthy's got them rolling. They're fine. They're 1-1, but don't panic. They're fine. Vikings, 1-1. No Sam Bradford, though, so I don't know. I think they're going to struggle without Sam. And the Lions. The Lions. Matthew Stafford is playing like he's the highest paid player in NFL history. They're going to win that division. They're really good. Now, let's go to the beloved NFC East. So now let me take my time with this. The Giants are 0-2, and you heard Kingsley just talk about, you know, McAdoo still calling plays. I don't know about that. First of all, they have no offensive line. I mean, it's awful, their offensive line. So that's a problem that I don't think can be fixed. They have no running back. That's a problem that can't be fixed. Maybe they can get somebody off the waiver wire, but I doubt it. And then they got a problem at receiver. You know, Beckham's hurt. Brandon Marshall may be a year too long in the league. This tight end that they have, you know, he kind of reminds me of Jordan Reed. He's a little delicate. So I just think the Giants are a mess. I really do. And I think the Eagles beat them tomorrow. The Eagles are athletic. That defense is ferocious. The Eagles D-line, it may be the best, at least in the NFC for sure. And even the back four is pretty good, led by Malcolm Jenkins. So I think that Doug Peterson's got them, you know, cruising right along. And, you know, we'll see what happens with them. I think they beat the Giants tomorrow, that's for sure. The Cowboys. The Cowboys, you know, I didn't think they were that good last year. And I think what's starting to happen is, and it happens all the time, these rookies had these great 1 year. And then defensive coordinators start figuring them out. Elliott, you know, bad attitude guy. I think he's a bad character guy. I don't even think he should be playing right now. He should be, in my opinion, in jail. For domestic violence. The guy, you know, got away with it. But also I'm biased because I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. But, like, Dak Prescott's done nothing. Dez Bryant can't run by anybody. They're really not that good. They got on a roll last year, you know, with the new – you know, it almost reminded me of when Alfred Morris and Robert and RG3 were playing for the Skins in 2012. No one knew these two rookies. They come out and make a big splash. They've done nothing since. I'm not suggesting that these guys will be that. But right now they're -9 in net points. So the defense isn't very good either. So let's talk about the Skins. And I'm going to go position by position. I think that finally the offensive line got some run stuff together, you know, and I think they need to stay with the run. I really do. I think that their pass pro is just okay. But I think what Jay could do to help the offensive line is throw the ball on running downs and run the ball on passing downs. I think that would really throw defenses off and not make them so predictable and help the offensive line. I think at running back, they're solid. You know, Fat Rob or non-Fat Rob or whatever, he's a little banged up. But, you know, Ajay came in last week and did a fine job. He had the most carries on the team last week and did a fine job. I told you he'd be the starter by the end of the year, and he will be. You heard it here on the first on the Extra Points radio show. He's the best running back they have. And then Chris Thompson is ridiculous. They gave Chris Thompson a raise. He didn't even ask for it. And they gave him a raise, and he is turning dividends. Chris Thompson's a really good player. I mean, he's a third down back. He's not an every down back. But, man, how valuable a third down back is. So he's getting it done. Now, at receiver, I'm concerned about this, Doc. I think somebody's got to give up on this experiment. I think it was huge that Ryan Grant scored the winning touchdown last week. And so, you know, with that being said, maybe Ryan Grant moves up that depth chart, moves past Josh Dotson. And I think once Josh Dotson becomes inactive for a week or two or four, they need to go ahead and let him go and just chalk it up that McLuhan, you know, did some good things, but the Josh Dotson pick was not a good pick. So we'll see what happens with that on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think the D-line's getting after it. I think I'd like to see the run stoppage be a little bit better, but I think the pass rush is better, a little more attacking. I think some of these blitzes are a little bit more in your face and a little more exotic than we've seen in the past from the Redskins. I think that's helping. Kerrigan's doing a fine job, as always. He's a Pro Bowler. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think the linebackers are tackling well. They're running well. Zach Brown can flat out run with any running back. Mason Foster's doing a great job. And Will Compton came in last week for Mason Foster and played a couple series and did a great job. So where I think they struggle is the secondary. I still think there's no other corner opposite of Norman. First of all, I don't think Norman's great. He's definitely not worth $75 million. But the opposite corner from Norman, also not Breeland, you know, he's good, but I don't see him threatening anybody. And they really only have one safety, you know. So Swearinger is the starter, and then Everett is the free safety. But, you know, they really wanted Sua Cravens in that spot, and Sua Cravens is gone from the team. They basically told him he can't come back for at least a year, and no other team can pick him up. Matter of fact, Sua Cravens owes the Redskins money. Go figure that one. So you know, and I thought the coaching staff did a good job. I thought Jay committed to the run, and he ran the football. And if he would just stay with that, stay with running the football, I think they'll be okay. Now, it's going to be a struggle tomorrow night. Couple reasons. One, they're at home. They have no home field advantage at FedEx Field. So that right there is not good. Thing two, they never win in prime time. They don't win on Monday Night Football. They don't win on Thursday Night Football. They definitely don't win on Sunday Night Football. Look it up. Check the last time they won any of those games. It's been a long time. Three, they're playing a team that could possibly go to the Super Bowl. Derek Carr, great. That Amari Cooper from Alabama, great receiver. That defense, Khalil Mack is going to destroy the Redskins' offensive line tomorrow night. You just wait and see. I'm going to go ahead and predict it now. Two sacks for Khalil Mack. Two sacks for Khalil Mack tomorrow night. So they're not going to win the game tomorrow. I still got them at 3-13. I was shocked they beat the Rams. They had to beat the Rams, though, because losing to the Rams, they would have been 0-2 and going into a game that they're not going to win, and now 0-3, and it's now starting to unravel a little bit, and I don't think they wanted that. So the big win to beat the Rams, that was huge. I forgot about Marshawn Lynch tomorrow night, too. He's going to run all over the Redskins. So, you know, it's going to be tough, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. So let's go ahead and do our that's our NFL, college football and NFL and Redskin wrap-up. Let's talk a little two-minute warning. Two-minute warning, simple. Been down in Florida and with this hurricane. And all I want to say to you is you never know. When Mother Nature strikes, there's earthquakes. There's hurricanes, tornadoes, what have you. Call your neighbor. Call your neighbor and tell them you're thinking about them. Call your family. Call your mom, dad. Call your kids and just see how they're doing. That is a lost art, just calling someone and saying, I'm thinking about you. How you doing? And so for all of you that do that for me day in and day out, I appreciate you, and hopefully I return the favor as quickly as I can. So call your neighbor. Call your family, call your friends, call your kids, and just see how they're doing. Prediction. So I pretty much said all of the predictions during the show, but I got the Eagles over the Giants. I got the Raiders over the Skins, and I got the Ravens over Jacksonville in London. That'll be a pretty cool trip for the Ravens, for John Harbaugh. It's pretty cool. And then, of course, I'm here in the locker room. I hear the music blasting. Guys are getting dressed, getting taped, getting ready to go, putting the last final touches on the game plan. And I got Bishop Ireton over the O'Connell Knights today at Bishop Ireton High School. So, hey, if you are looking for someone to motivate, inspire, and engage your teams, book me to speak at your event. You can find me at www.extrapointsllc.com, also on Twitter, at extrapointsllc. You can email me, coach@extrapointsllc.com. I'd love to speak at schools, churches, you name it, businesses, you name it, I'm there. I've spoken in places I never thought I would. And I'll never get speaking in Gulfport, Mississippi, in front of the Chamber of Commerce while singing Yankee Doodle Dandy. That was a tough one for me right there. A bunch of guys from Gulfport, Mississippi singing Yankee Doodle Dandy, and I'm next on stage. So, but I nailed it. So if I can do that for you or your organization, book me. Speaking of book me, that's right, I wrote a book, and it's great, and it's still rolling. It was great to be in Florida this week, and I bumped into someone who had actually purchased my book. I got an email. I always get emails from people saying, hey, I just read your book, and I was inspired by it. So for those of you that that have purchased the book or supporting the book, please tell someone about it, especially a young person. I think it's inspiring for them. Everybody's got a story, and I know mine is simply complicated. That's how I like to put it, simply complicated. So hey, next week we're going to have a guest. Don't know who we're booking yet for that, but want to thank each and every one of you who listen each week to the Extra Points Radio Show. If it's something you think we can do better here on the show, don't hesitate to shoot me an email. We take fan mail. We take non-fan mail. That's fine, too. And just remember to pay attention to the topic from earlier today. We all have the freedom to say whatever we want, but what was said about Colin Kaepernick by the President of the United States was absolutely unacceptable and appalling. And I've never mentioned your president on this show, but after hearing that, I had to mention it. You know, I was just disgusted. So, anyway, hey, next week we'll be back with a guest. We'll be back with our pay attention topic. And you know what? I guess, as always, you know what it is? The extra point is up. And it is good.
The extra point.